Well, we're in a series looking at people in the Bible who faced the same kind of struggles we still do. That's what I love about the Bible. Oh, it's relevant. It's relevant for today. And so today I want to dig into something, an area that is taking down men and women, left and right. Sexual sin. And it's wreaking havoc in our homes, our churches, and our nation. God's word has answers. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 39, beginning in verse 1. Genesis chapter 39, beginning in verse 1. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. Let me give you a little context. So Joseph's one of the 12 sons of Jacob. His brothers hate him because his dad made him the favorite. They sell him to some Ishmaelites that are traveling by. He doesn't even speak the language. He gets hauled to Egypt, sold on a slave block to Potiphar, who was a top guy in Pharaoh's palace. And here's where he is now, serving as a servant slave in Potiphar's house. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. I want to stop and get some of you to really... There are some of you, you've had things happen to you that should not have happened. I want you to know, the Lord was still with Joseph. The Lord is still with you, still with you. Others may have failed you. Others may have abandoned you. If you're his child, he said, when would he leave you or forsake you?
Never.
That's what Joseph had going on for him. The Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man and was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph, here's the life verse of some of you guys. You're like, yeah, that's me. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He went to Planet Fitness, and he was continually tan. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after some time, his master's wife cast eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he's put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How can I then do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day. Here's what you need to realize about sin and temptation. You won't need to say no once. It's relentless. Doesn't give up. She didn't give up. Day after day, she's saying, lie with me. Go to bed with me. Day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the other men were in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. I think this is so important that I'm taking 2 weeks to dig into this. Today and next Sunday. From this passage, I want to give you 4 things that Joseph did that we are going to have to be ready to do. You and me. Today, that we're going to have to be ready to do today if you want to keep from being one more casualty who goes down in shame and flames. You better be ready to do what we're going to see Joseph did. Ready to do. God's word has answers, you guys, if we'll do it. ready to do what Joseph did. Here's the first step. Number one, you better make up your mind ahead of time how you're going to respond to sexual temptation. You better have your mind made up ahead of time how you're going to respond to sexual temptation. Because the time to decide is not when temptation is staring you in the face. That is way too late. You'll go down. You might say no the first time. You might say no the second time. But it's not going to let up. And if your mind isn't made up, you're going to go down. The time to decide is not when you're staring the temptation in the face. And so some of you, if you're listening to me and you're still thinking that you can just leave the door open a little bit, take a peek, think about it, and then decide, you're dead in the water. You're dead in the water. Because your mind has to be made up ahead of time. In other words, you need to have already decided there is no scenario where it would be okay. None. Zero. Nunca. Nada. Some of you, if you were to be honest, you've left the door open just a little bit, just in case the right thing comes along at the right time. Trust me. Our enemy is so sly, he will see that whatever for you is the right thing, it happens. And whatever you've decided is the right time, happens. You can't have a category like that. You cannot. That door needs to be slammed shut. You've made up your mind ahead of time what you're going to do with sexual temptation. There is no scenario in which it would be okay. No, no, no. None. None. Those of you that have the door open just a little, you need to realize it's just a matter of time. And our enemy, he'll wait. He doesn't mind waiting. As long as it ends in absolute destruction, shame, and flame, he'll wait. He's not in a hurry to take you down. He'll wait. It's just a matter of time and you'll go down. Because if you haven't made up your mind ahead of time, here's what's going on. You are living every minute of every day at risk. In that workplace, in that hospital, in that graphic design company, in that gym, in that neighborhood. If you haven't made up your mind on that campus, students, if you haven't made up your mind ahead of time, you are living at risk. You're at risk. One of the reasons that Joseph survived and even thrived in a day just like ours. I mean, does this scenario not sound just like today? Right? This stuff happens. This stuff happens. What just happened to Joseph? This happens today. One of the reasons Joseph survived and even thrived is he had already made up his mind ahead of time. And let me bring you this. I am so pleased. The older I get, the more happy it makes me on Sundays when I'm mixing and mingling and as I'm preaching that we got young people here. We're not aging out. We got young people here. So if you're young, I'm talking to you right now. Stop playing that game on your phone. Look at me. You know how old Joseph was when he landed in Potiphar's house? 17. 17. The time to make up your mind is sooner rather than later. Early. Oh, don't think, I'm going to live a little. And then, no, you won't. You'll form a bad habit and you'll carry all kinds of issues and problems and hurt into wherever you head next. Oh, the time to make up your mind is young. Early. Joseph had made up his mind. You say, how do you know that, Brad? Because of verse 7 and 8. I love verse 8. Starts with three words. Say them with me. But he refused. Say it again. But he refused. I mean, like a shot out of a cannon, but he refused. But he refused. That's what happens when you've already made up your mind. Notice what's missing from verse 7 and 8. It doesn't say, he said he'd get back to her on that. He's going to think about it. He didn't pause. He didn't even pray. Boom. He didn't need to pray. His mind was made up. His mind. And get this, young people, no youth group. He's in Egypt. It's pagan. He's in Potiphar's. He doesn't have a student ministry. He doesn't have an accountability partner. He doesn't have anything else, but he stood for God. He did it. Guess why? The Lord was with Joseph. If you're his child, is he with you at Notre Dame Academy? Is he with you at Connor? Is he with you? Is he? He's with you too. You can do it. You can do this. He's with you. But you will not do it if your mind isn't already made up ahead of time. But he refused. Boom. And let me touch on this, pray about it. I hear this a lot. We'll be reaching out to a guy who's leaving his wife. He's committing adultery. It's a big fat mess. And he says to us, he'll pray about it, what we want him to do. Which is come back, repent, reconcile, stop. Let me help you. You don't need to pray about it. That's an excuse. I've never had anyone say to us, I'm going to pray about it, that then said, oh, I'm going to do the right thing. I prayed about it, and now they go on and do what they were doing. That's an excuse. You don't need to pray about it. We already know what God's word says. Some of you, when you say you need to pray, that's just an excuse to delay what you already know you need to do to obey God's word. Don't use prayer as an excuse. If you really are praying to God, he's just saying back to you, what are you doing? I've never changed my mind. Everyone thinks their situation is unique. Well, surely this, God would say it's okay. He's never said it, it's okay, and he's never going to say it's okay. His word stands forever, and it hasn't changed. Doesn't matter what's going on in our culture. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same. You don't need to pray about it. You need to obey. And you need to have made up your mind that there is no scenario in which it would be okay. It would be okay. It would be okay. Joseph refused immediately, abruptly, and rudely, I think, because it was automatic. It was automatic. It was automatic. It was automatic. This is the way, Navy SEALs, Army Ranger, Delta Force men and women, this is the way they're trained. And that is why they stay alive. You guys, we're in a war. We're in a war for your soul. We're in a war. You want to stay alive? I want to stay alive. You better be like a spiritual Navy SEAL, Army Ranger, Delta Force. They have been trained to where it's so ingrained in them that what they know they need to do in the moment is automatic, reflexive, without conscious thought. That's how they stay alive. They train them, train them, train them, train them, train them, train them. You don't have to think. You don't have to decide. You don't ponder. You don't pray. Boom, boom, boom. That's it. So stay with me. Do you realize that's what's supposed to happen to us as you read God's word over and over and over? So another reason I press you, I love you, I pray for you by name. The reason I press you to read God's word, how often? Well, yeah, but say every day. Thank you. Say what I want you to say. Every day, every day. Every day is not because I have to learn something new every day. I often do learn something new. But what's happening to me? It's getting ingrained in me. His thoughts are becoming my thoughts. His ways are becoming, because I still have flesh. You still have flesh. My flesh still has a screaming, burning yes for some of this stuff in the world. I need a bigger no, no, no. And that only comes as you've been trained in righteousness. So here's bonus. Write down 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says this. All scripture is breathed out by God. Now he's going to tell you what it's good for and is profitable for doctrine. All right, we learn about, we're created in the image of God. We learn about marriage. We learn about communication. We learn about work. I learn stuff. Doctrine. Reproof. There are mornings that God's word punches me in the face, you guys. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not. Correction. He stands me up and points me in a different direction. But here's the last phrase. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. How about that, Navy SEALs? That's what we got to be. We got to be trained in righteousness. You just keep reading it and read it. I'm going to read it for a lifetime. I'm going to read it till I die. There's no time that you should say, I got it. I've got to be trained in righteousness. Trained in righteousness. You keep reading it and you will get trained in righteousness so that you can stay alive in the moment. They call it automaticity. I didn't know that was a word, but ChatGPT told me it is. Literally, I'm loving ChatGPT, the free version. Like, tell me about military training. Oh, I learned so much. Automaticity means you don't even have to have a conscious thought. It's reflexive, automatic, because it's so ingrained. That's what they do with these men and women. And that's the only reason they stay alive as long as they do. You can't think about it. You can't ponder and decide. You have to know what to do immediately. And that's why the mantra of those who train these specialists is this, quote, "We do not rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training." Let me explain to you what it means. Some of you are like, well, I don't expect to ever do something stupid sexually. I don't expect to leave my wife. Doesn't matter what you expect. I don't know anybody who ever woke up and said, think I'll commit adultery today and just break my wife's heart, break my husband's heart, break. It doesn't matter what you expect. It's what you trained for. We do not rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. Are you being trained in righteousness? That's why we do small groups, you guys. I love this moment. But you need more. We need to be at close range with other believers, holding on to each other, massaging. You know, how are you living that out? How are you doing? Some of you need one-on-one counseling. We did, to get unstuck. We've got all these things going on to make disciples, to train us, and not to keep you busy, but I want to see that you don't go down in flames and shame. You better be trained in righteousness. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. I doubt anyone here today would say, yeah, I don't want to finish well. Yeah, I'd like to finish in shame. Nobody expects that. Tons of men and women do it because they weren't trained in righteousness. Oh, and so here's what you got to understand. You better have made up your mind ahead of time. But there's more. Then you'll need to manage your mind every minute of every day for the rest of your. Can you make up your mind about something and then later violate it and be stupid? Yeah. So you got to make up your mind. That's step one. Some of you hadn't done that, but you're still not done. Then you got to manage your mind every minute of every day for the rest of your life. And what I mean by that is you're still going to have errant thoughts. You're still going to have all these fiery darts. We live in a terrible world, right? You better know what to do with thoughts that aren't biblical. So that's why Paul the Apostle talks the way he does in 2 Corinthians. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we're in the world. And guess what? We're supposed to be. He did not want us to huddle up and all live with Christians on the street. He didn't want us to all exercise to Christian music together. He wants you in a real gym. He wants you in a neighborhood. But we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. Well, the only way you're not going to be of it is if you do what he says next. We're in the world. We live in the world, but we do not wage war. Notice, there's that word again. It's a war. And it's a war that's way more critical and important than the cultural war, than the political war. It's a war for your soul. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We live in a world, right? If you're coming to our church, then you know a lot of what God says. But the world, we got arguments. Some of you are in school, you're at NKU, you're UC, you're in a high school. Are there arguments contrary to what God's word says? Whew. Are there blogs that say the opposite? Experts say blah, blah, blah. There are arguments all around us. But let me tell you, if you don't know it, get it today. Your biggest problem and mine are not the arguments around me, the arguments inside me. Can your flesh even still argue and say, what did God really say? And does he mean now in this? Oh, it's, you better be ready to know. There's arguments and oh, the word pretension. You know what the word pretension is? A false claim based on assumptions. Are there false claims today? Oh, it's much better. Go ahead and live together and then you'll know if you're meant for each other for marriage. That's the biggest lie. Living together doesn't give you a better marriage. It does not. It does not. Oh, being sexually active as a single will make it. No, no. Let me help you. As you fornicate, if you are sexually active as a single, you are in an internship for adultery. That's what you're doing. You weren't doing what God said when you were single, and it's likely you won't do what he's saying when you're married. And you will carry shrapnel and baggage. It is not going to help your marriage. God's ways are best. Best. There are arguments and pretensions all around us that are against the knowledge of God. And then he closes with this. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's on you. That's on me. I can't do it for you. I don't know what you're thinking. And some of you are like, I don't know what I'm thinking either. Well, work on that. You know, when I counsel and someone's done something heinous, I want to know what you were thinking. Thinking leads to feelings that leads to action. And they'll say, I wasn't thinking anything. Well, yeah, you were. And you need to actually exercise like a new muscle you aren't used to. Get better at knowing, what am I thinking? What were you saying to yourself? What were you believing? How were you connecting the dots? Thinking is what leads to doing. You and I have always thought our way into every sin we've ever committed. You were thinking first before you ever acted. Taking every thought captive. And you're like, now wait a minute. Wait a minute, that doesn't line up with God's word. Or there's a little bit of truth, but a bunch of lie. I got to be able to take captive every thought, all these thoughts that are coming into my mind. The only way I have a grid by which I can decide, is it biblical, is to know the Bible. So I read my Bible so that I'll know it well enough to know an errant thought, a lie, a deception. And that is on me. That's on you. You got to take thoughts captive. It matters what you think. Well, all I'm doing is thinking. I'm just thinking it, but I'm not doing it. So there's no harm in that. Oh, don't be so foolish. You think it long enough and you'll be doing it. Thinking leads to actions. And so that's why the Message paraphrase, I love it, in verse 5 says this. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. Are there warped philosophies in our day? Yeah. For smashing warped theologies. Tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. I want to become more like Christ. I don't want to just say no to sin. I want to become more like Christ. I hope you do too. So I want my life to be shaped to the structure of Christ, which means I've got to pay attention to loose thoughts, emotions, impulses. Can you have a feeling that is so real that is so wrong? Yes. People are like, I just feel it so strongly, it's got to be right. Please stop. I've always felt this way. Yeah, you've always been a sinner. Please don't decide what's right and wrong by, and this makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, I know it does. If it doesn't line up with God's word, step away from what, have people find, people have the amazing capacity to logically think their way into some of the biggest messes. It made perfect sense. It seems logical. I feel it. I've always felt it. Here we go. And then we're trying to put it back together. That's how you make a mess of your life. You want to be spared? You say, God, what does your word say? It doesn't matter that I say, well, I never would have thought that. Yeah, he's God. I haven't felt that. I still have some feelings different than that. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Ooh. Fitting every loose thought, emotion, and impulse. If you want to keep from going down in flames, get a hold. Start paying attention to what you're thinking, feeling, and what you think you should do next, and see if it matches God's word. But let me help you a little more. You might be surprised, since we're talking about thinking, at what the most dangerous thought is that you could have. Since we're talking about sexual sin, do you realize the most dangerous thought is not on any given day? I wake up tomorrow, my alarm goes off, and I think I'll jump into sexual sin this week. If that thought popped into my head or your head, most of us have enough sense to push back. No. And our enemy Satan realizes that. He's sly, you guys. That's not his thought that he wants to give you. You know what? You know what? He has won a major victory if he can get you and get me thinking and feeling sorry for ourselves. My life is so hard. So hard. Everyone else has it so much better. My job is so hard. These kids are so hard. My health is so... I deserve a little pleasure. A little something fun. Oh, listen to me. Self-pity. The tentacles... All right, there's all kinds of sins out here. You can trace the tentacles of so many sins can be traced back to the sin... And it is a sin of self-pity. Oh, fight against self-pity. Just get yourself a gratitude list. Start making a thankful list. Just change your focus. Woo! Do not step onto the path of self-pity because it will lead to greater sins, because it's how you'll justify what you do next. And it's how you got on the path of something far worse, self-pity. Fight against it. Fight against it. Fight against it. You better make up your mind ahead of time. The door's shut. No scenario in which it would be okay. Then manage your mind. Take thoughts captive. But let me give you the second step of what Joseph did that we got to do. Number two, you better do everything you can to keep God squarely in the picture. He did not let God get fuzzy in the midst of his fight. He brought God back into the picture, and I mean in a hurry. In a hurry. Look at it in verse 9. He's talking about Potiphar, his master. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against? What does it seem like that sentence should end with? Potiphar. He's building a case. Potiphar's been so good to me. He's given me authority. He's given me everything but you. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? It's not how he ends it. And it's not how he ends it for a reason. He realized sexual sin. Oh, it's against God. It's against God. God has been so good to me. God has blessed me. God has solved my biggest problem. Do you realize the motivation and reason for not sexually sinning, if it's just that other person, it's not big enough. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. So often adultery, this is not my first rodeo. I'm not a pup pastor. I've been in this a long time. Do you know who commits adultery? Two couples that are best friends that do vacation together all the time. And he starts having sex with his wife. It's not enough to say, oh, but that's my best friend, Bob, and we served together in the military. We started, how could I do this wickedness and sin against my friend, Bob? It's his wife. Not enough. People do it all the time. You want to have a greater motivation to fight and say no? You better have in full view and never lose sight of it. How could I do this and sin against, say it. Say it louder. God. Do everything you can to stay as God conscious as you can. Another reason that I read my Bible. How often?
Every day.
Every day. I mean, some of you are counting on me and Peter and the rest of us to get it for you. You don't even look at your Bible for another week and then you come back on Sunday. Not enough. I stay God conscious by meeting with God every day in the morning. Oh man, by 9:30 sometimes, some of you have sent enough emails that it's just blown my day up. But I started God conscious at least. And then I do it again the next morning. Oh man, nothing else in this world brings God into view for me, right? This does. And I need it again. I want to stay as God conscious as possible. Therefore, I read his word and meet with him every day to go into my day God conscious, God conscious, God conscious. The first and most subtle step towards sin is when thoughts of God grow dim. You're not a card-carrying atheist. But he's just dim. He's grainy black and white. He's on the margin. The most subtle step towards sin is when thoughts of God grow dim. And the sin is in living color. The sin is HD color surround sound. Woo! Woo! Dietrich Bonhoeffer captures it well, what we're talking about right here. He wrote about temptation. Listen to what he says. This is so good. In our members, he's talking about your body, arms, legs. In our members, there is a slumbering inclination towards desire, which is both sudden and fierce. With irresistible power, desire seizes mastery over the flesh. The flesh burns and is in flames. Joy in God is in course of being extinguished in us. At this moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality, and only desire for the creature is real. Satan does not here fill us with hatred of God, but forgetfulness of God. The lust thus aroused envelops the mind and will of man in deepest darkness. Now notice this sentence, because you'll wonder, how could they do that? I know her. I know him. What? Here's how. The power of clear discrimination and decision are taken from us. It is here that everything within me rises up against the word of God. You don't need to be vigilant about hatred of God. Satan knows you probably won't go there. Just forgetfulness. You still have a God, but he's dim. He's dim. You won't fight well if he's dim. Oh. And that's what Romans 1 was talking about. Romans 1, the first part, is all about sexual sin. Well, listen to what it says in Romans 1:28. This same truth. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I don't want to think about God right now. I don't want God in the equation. I don't want thoughts of God right here in this. Not good. They did not did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You stop keeping God in mind, and you will start doing things you never, ever thought you would do. You stop keeping God in mind, you can do things you never thought you would do. And so letter A, you better remember God and what he says about sexual sin. God and what he says. God and what he says. Because, if you've gotten sucked into taking your cues from all the blogs and your streaming devices, Hulu, Peacock, Amazon, Netflix, I'm not getting help on this from any of those platforms, you guys. And don't hear me saying I don't watch anything. I do. I have some favorite series. But oh my goodness, so often, everything there is shown, everyone's having sex before marriage. Just like after two dates, it's like, yeah. Everyone, I'll tell you who they never show having sex. Married couples. I'm like, how about that? I'll do it. Well, I'd have to ask her first. Let's show God-honoring sex. Never. Oh, couple, yeah. No, we want adultery, we want fornication, we want everything but what God said, this is good. That you're not going to get it. And so I want thrillers. I want cut off an arm, shoot somebody. I mean, I want the bad guys to get it in the end. But just blow some things up. But so often what I get that I didn't want is horrific sexual scenes. I'm old enough, that would have been pornography. Oh, I'm just rolling along and all of a sudden, oh, my word. And if it keeps happening, I'm like, bummer. That's it for that series. I can't do that. I can't see graphic sex scenes in every episode and be okay. So that's why I love Blacklist. Oh, 8 seasons, no graphic sex, the coolest bad gay, Raymond Reddington. Oh, man, I like him. I miss him. When the last episode was like, goodbye, Raymond. Oh, but you're going to have to figure out what can you watch and not be defiled and not have your mind just, because news alert, adultery is still a sin. Sex before marriage, Bible calls it fornication, is still a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Pedophilia is a sin. Bestiality is a sin. And pornography is a sin. I don't think pornography is God's gift to singles. Because you're doing it all by yourself. You're getting worked up all by yourself. And you're watching stuff or reading stuff that stimulates you. And guess what? You're setting yourself up for difficulty if you do get married. You'll carry all that. There's no way your spouse is going to live up to this. These people. It's not going to look like that. It's not going to be like that. Don't do that. That is you doing it all by yourself. He did not give us sex for you to use it by yourself. So these are all twisted versions of God's good gift. But you're not going to learn that from our culture. You're not going to learn it from your streaming devices. You'll only learn it from God's word. That's why Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor. It's good. He's not done. And the marriage bed be undefiled. That's a euphemism, a polite public euphemism for sexual intimacy. He's talking about sex between a husband and wife. It's good. It's not bad. It's good. It's not bad. But here's how he finishes out that verse. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge you if right now, You might think it's a secret. No one around you may know what you're doing. You may have secret sexual sin. You're committing adultery. You're up to your eyeballs in porn. I don't know what it is, but you think it's a secret. Let me help you. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees it right now, and he will judge you for it if you don't repent. Just let that sink in for a minute. Oh, but there's another. You might think, okay, whatever. One day, someday, when I stand before him, I'll be judged for it. Let me give you a sobering verse. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sins will find you out. Sin has this amazing capacity. It just has the power of pushing towards public. Pushing towards public. It wants to destroy you, and public's the best way. It pushes towards public. It pushes towards public. I plan out my sermons a year in advance. I planned to do this last August. Very interesting, as I studied this week. We've got an example of this 2 weeks ago, right? Right? Can what was secret be made public? Oh! The CEO of Astronomer Corporation, Andy Byron, gets caught on a kiss cam. He's thrown up onto the Jumbotron with his arms around a coworker who's married, and he's married. She threw her hands over her face. He ducked into the crowd. Too late. That went viral. 65,000 people packed into Gillette Stadium for a Coldplay concert, and the kiss cam chose them. What do you know? I don't know what you're doing, but it's coming out. Get out before it's found out. Be sure your sins will find you out. Oh. So you better remember God, and then let her be. You better do everything you can to stay satisfied in God. It's just not saying, well, I know there's a God. Oh, you want to stay satisfied in him so that you're not as tempted by what the world offers. You want to be so satisfied in him. That's why you got to know him intimately. Delight in him. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is whole. And so some of you need to experience Psalm 81. That would be the best thing you could do for your fight against sin. It doesn't even have the word sin or sexual sin in it. But it's God speaking. Listen to what God says in Psalm 81. Open wide your mouth, and I'll fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, and I would feed you with the finest wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. I would have satisfied you. I also spend time with him to be satisfied in something better. So that when I head into the real world, I live in a real world, in a real neighborhood. I'll spare you the details, but we did another open house Friday night. Our street represents the world. It's right there in the swimming pool as I engage people. It's all happening. It's all happening. It's all right there. I've got to be so satisfied in something better that I can say, no, I'm going to Esporta. I don't get to decide who's going to plant it right in front of me. I'm on the elliptical, and boom, there she is. She may as well be naked, the pants that she has on. I kid you not. So if you're a Christian young lady, please don't do that. Now, that's my choice, what I do next. And so I just pick a spot on the wall, high on the wall. And they think, what is wrong with him? Cricking his neck for 20 minutes. He's just like, yeah, it's my choice what I do next. I can keep taking another look. And I start praying. God bless her. I don't know if she's married. If she's married, oh, give them a great marriage. Give them a great sexual relationship with each other. If she's single, oh, bless her. If she doesn't know you, guess what? You can't pray for someone and undress them and have your way with them at the same time. I pray. And that'll bring Jesus on the cross into view. I'm like, oh, you died for sin. Even though my flesh is rising up saying, oh, I'm like, nope, there's no pleasure in that. There's no pleasure in that. There's no pleasure in that. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. Does this sound like a fight? It is. But it's a fight worth fighting. And I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. But I'm choosing to do it. I made up my mind. I was young. I was Joseph also. I was in the youth group. So by God's grace, I made up my mind early to stay sexually pure. But that doesn't mean that it's automatic. Could I be stupid in the next 20 years of my life? Do old people do stupid things? Yeah. Sexually stupid things? Yeah. Yes, they do. I don't want to be one of them. So back to our military metaphor. When is it okay for a Navy SEAL, an Army Ranger, Delta Force, to stop being as vigilant, guarded, careful. Oh, they've had so many successful missions, now they win. Never. That's how you die. Just because you've had successful missions doesn't mean you can never let up. Vigilant, guarded, intentional, staying more satisfied in something else. That's why I love what John Piper says. The fight against sexual sin is a fight to stay so satisfied in Him. John Piper said, sin is what we do when we're not satisfied in God. Stay satisfied. I gave you a quote that I'll let you read on your own for sake of time by Sean Brulman, who was the executive director of Setting Captives Free, a ministry to help people with sexual sin. And he began to recognize, he said, we talk about accountability, we talk about appropriate, we talk about... And he said, it's not enough. He added a fourth. He said, so they talked about radical amputation, cut off the places, radical accountability. He said, without radical adoration, you'll go back to your sin. You must fall in love with Jesus and taste. And you need radical adoration to keep saying no to all the temptations that we face and the arguments and the pretensions and the warped philosophies. Oh, fall in love with Him. Spend time with Him. And that leads to final letter C. You better remember the hidden cost of sin. Sometimes people make a mistake. All right, well, I'm doing what God's word says I shouldn't do, but lightning hasn't struck. Nothing bad's happened. Oh, don't make a mistake. It is not about what happens immediately. It's what happens ultimately and eternally. There is a payday someday coming. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, they'll reap. You've got to play the long game. You've got to have a harvest mentality. Do not make a mistake. I gave you a verse there from Ecclesiastes that it literally says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. I'm doing what God's word says not to do, and nothing bad's happened. So let's just, don't make that mistake. And as we close, I know, this was heavy. This is hard. So stay with me, because I want to talk, because I believe I've been talking to three different groups of people here today. So I've got a different word for each of you in closing. Some of you have already fallen in the past. You've been in a huge sexual sin mess. But you repented, or you were in it pre-Christ. You repented, you asked forgiveness. Hear me, you are not second class. You will not be forevermore just barely at the table. No. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. You start over. But you do need to take appropriate steps to see that it doesn't happen again. Woman caught in adultery, thrown at His feet. Did He forgive her? Yes. Oh, yeah. But He said, go and sin. If this has been her habit, that won't be easy. So He wants her to work on not, some of you, you sin, you ask forgiveness, and you just do it again and ask forgiveness, and you do it again and ask forgiveness. That is not biblical. Get help to figure out what you're thinking, what you're wanting, so that you don't keep doing it again. But you can be forgiven. Well, there's a second group. You have been the most miserable today. You wanted to get up and just walk out, but you knew that would be weird. But you are in the middle of sexual sin. You're sleeping with your boyfriend, sleeping with your girlfriend. You're deep into porn. You are committing adultery right now with a coworker or a friend's wife or husband. Hear me. Repent. I beg you. Repent. Get out before you are found out. Repent. This is the kindness of the Lord for you. This is His mercy that this message would be happening today. Repent. Repent. Don't go any further down that path. And then there's a third category. There's some of you, praise God, you've not done anything heinous. But you don't have a strategy and you've not made up your mind yet. You're living careless. You're living careless with little or no thought about how to avoid. I want you to adopt a wartime mentality. And if you haven't done it, make up your mind definitively. There's no scenario in which it would be okay. And then start doing some of the things I've talked about. Manage your mind. Get more satisfied in Him. Whew, we're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a war. You don't want to have a civilian mindset or a casual mindset. If you have a casual mindset, you will be a casualty soon. Soon. And so I'm asking you today, I put together a covenant. I'm asking you to go home and prayerfully read over this and consider signing this. I don't need you to turn it into me. I don't want you to. But before God, and I thought this through pretty carefully in detail, that saying, I am going to do what is necessary to fight against sexual sin and to finish well. Make a commitment. Make a commitment. Make a commitment before God. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for not just saving us, but thank you for giving us everything we need for life and godliness. Direct access to your throne, your word alive to us, your spirit in us, and then the people of God around us. We can do this together. We can hold on to each other. God, help us to be peculiar people, odd for God, in this day of warped philosophy, that we want to obey you in every area, including sexuality. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.